So, Christmas time, we try to sing a bunch of hymns. I still have a psalm song we sing, and there's a reason I picked psalm songs. This one here today, that portion of Psalm 24, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors." When you think about the gate of a town, the gate of a city, it's like the place of meeting, kind of like the town council, the places where things are decided, the places where people of authority and power gather together and work things out. They work out marriages, they work out marriages and schooling, and they work out disputes, business transactions. Work out leadership issues and a host of things. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Advent. What's Advent? What does the time of Advent mean?
Coming.
It's a time of coming. So who's coming? The Messiah, Jesus. And really, there's a lot of preparations to be made. And isn't it a challenge for you to keep your Christian attitude in the midst of all the Christmas preparations? You're doing a lot for the party and you can lose the heart, you know? Because Jesus is coming. And Jesus is coming again. So it's a good reminder of how to get ready. And Jesus is not pleased if the servants start beating one another when the master seems long in coming. So we have to be kind and loving to one another. They'll know we are, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples and that we have love for one another. So we take communion together to remind us who we're connected to, the head. And so the body acts right. We don't want to lose our focus. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, all you people who think you have power and authority to work out stuff on your own, all you people who are working out all your different transactions, whether it comes for matrimony or business or where you're going to live and where you're going to work and all these things, lift up your heads, O gates. Like, lift them up. Why? Because somebody more important than you is here. Somebody who's going to actually have authority over your authority. And if your authority is not under his authority, it's no authority at all. So lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. And it's a good reminder. The first Advent is a good practice for the second. And when the second comes, he's wrapping up stuff. So you want to make sure that you are ready. So that's why you might say, well, why are we singing Lift Up Your Heads, O Gates and everything? And why aren't we just singing like another Away in a Manger, you know? Because it's wonderful to welcome the little child. But it's even more wonderful to welcome the little child and remember, he is the King of glory. The Lord, strong and mighty, in this manger. That manger is power-packed. So it's important to remember who you're welcoming. Lift up your heads, O gates. You've got your plans. You've got your ideas. You've got everything that you want. I mean, on two sides of the congregation, we've got two young men entering into or back into a world they remember and going into a world you don't even know. It's important to remember who is the King of glory. When you're especially at a time in your life, when you're laying out the foundations of everything, make sure the undergirding of it all is Jesus Christ. Lift up your heads, O gates. You got powers, you got authorities, you got ideas, you got a lot of plans. But the ultimate is here, Jesus Christ. Make sure you talk to him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And I didn't make that up. That comes, see, that psalm reminds me of another psalm, and this reminds you of that, this reminds you of another thing. That's from Psalm 2, which is also a messianic psalm. It says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Take refuge in him. The salvation is here. Jesus, our ark. Jesus, like the ark, Noah's ark, the salvation. Like the ark, the little place that had Moses, that little basket of reeds was an ark in some, it was an ark too. All these arks in the Bible, you know, look to Jesus, he is your salvation. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. So we think about Jesus today, and we think about that amazing child in that manger. And what we're going to look at is Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 56. And then we're also going to look at another scripture verse from 1 Samuel chapter 2. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth had heard, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and excluded." I'm sorry, not exalted. "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So, Mary believed God. What's another attribute of Mary? Remember I told you about lift up your heads, O gates. And you might have your plans. You might have big plans. They might be well thought out plans. The world might pat you on the back and give you a hug and give you money and give you opportunities. And you might think everything's wonderful. But lift up your heads, O ye gates. And be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. All glory to God. Glory be to God. Right, Elaine? Glory be to God. All glory to God. And your life, if God should bless you with the wonders of just resources, whether that be physical or people resources, relationships, and systematic type things. God blesses you with all that. If you forget ultimately who the glory goes to, you're going to be going on your own strength, and eventually that strength is not going to serve you well. Go. Psalm, what is it, 127. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor build it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." You need to know the order of things. You need to know this baby in the manger. is meant to change things. Is meant to take over the house. You ever see a couple who thinks they're going to have a baby and they're just going to continue on doing everything, same old, same old? Well, you know, our children, we love children, and one, we brought our child along everywhere we went, and two, you know, but they just taught us a lot of things, and a child changes the whole atmosphere of the household, you know? You get together with other people and you start talking about the latest children's song you heard and children's program you watched. And like you enter into their world and do things according to what they like. And all of a sudden it's like you're just not the same people anymore. The thing is, Jesus wants us to accept his kingdom like a little child. And he wants us to learn the childish ways. Not the childlike ways, not childish ways. He wants to learn to be like him. He wants us to learn simplicity and love and faith and fellowship. You know, like faithfulness in the prayer. He said something like siempre, which I think means something about faith, right? When he was praying for me. You know, it's like a pick up little words. Corazón, like heart, you know? He wants a heart of faithfulness. A heart that the very foundation, Jesus, is in charge. God is large and in charge. Right? You know, when I was coming back from getting eggs for my wife down at the place just down the road, because she went earlier and there was no eggs there, and then I went and on a run, I just thought I'd open the little door of the outhouse type looking place and look, see if there was eggs, and there were eggs. So I ran back and told her there's eggs, and then I ran back to get the eggs with the dog. And on the way back, I heard a lot of noise. Like, oh.
What was that?
A lot of noise. But it was weird. It was like I heard noise, but it sounded like a lot of noise, but it sounded far off in a way. But I was still so surprised when I saw geese flying. And they were flying higher than I normally see them fly. They were flying really high. But I could still hear them. And I was surprised I could still hear them that far off. That's them? They must be making a lot of noise. If I can hear them from down here, and a bunch of noise. And another thing that I was surprised with, which I don't recommend you do this, but I was walking on the road and I just kept on walking, staring up as I was walking. Okay? Well, I was walking back. I already had a run. Okay, I just went for eggs.
You don't want to run with your eggs.
I couldn't run with my eggs. But anyway, so I was looking at the geese as I was walking back. And what struck me about it was not just their noise, but it was a mess. It was a goosey mess up there. It was like all over the place. There was no form about it. It was just geese just all over, like a muddle of geese up there. And I'm like, aren't they supposed to be in a V? What's up with that? Wow. And so I just kept watching because they were just, it was really a goosey mess up there. It was just like, I felt like I wanted to go. I don't know. You probably. You want. I don't know. It just. I was a mess. Geese should not look like that. You know. It's not goosey at all. Because I've read stuff about geese. You know. You know how they fly. They're supposed to fly in a V. You know. And you know how there's one, always there's one more there's always one side of the V is a little longer than the other. You know why that is? There's more geese in that side. But anyway. So I was just looking up there, and as I was walking for a while, because it takes a little while to get back from where the eggs are, you know. Slowly but surely, they eventually got in what was an almost perfect V. I mean, like, perfect. And I was like, wow. And I just looked up there and I thought, Here's my thoughts. You know where I get my sermons and stuff. From the Lord, because I believe the Lord was blessing me with this, because I thought, that's like church. There's just a lot of squawking until people get it figured it out. There's a lot, whole bunch of squawking until people figure it out where everybody's supposed to be in this thing. And I was thinking, what are they saying up there? Is there like, my place. No, or are they saying like, no, wait. And I was thinking, well, I've read about geese and birds like that. A lot of those birds in that kind of animals, you know, those kind of birds, they like mate for life. They take care of each other. If one is wounded, they'll even stay back. At the danger of their own life, they'll stay with that other person, kind of guarding around that person. And I thought, well, no, geese are probably better than us. They're probably not squawking like, oh, my place. No, I need to be like this. Maybe they're like, hey, no, you took this last time. Hey, you didn't eat much algae today or whatever. You know, you go to the back. Hey, I'm tougher than you. I can take the wind a little bit better. Let me go in front of you. I can take this. And I'm just thinking, what conversation geese might be having all the while that their squawks are probably meaning praise the Lord. But they're working it out and trying to show us something. I figured that's like church. And then I thought also about Mary, because I knew I was going to talk about Mary this Sunday. I thought, you know what? What's so beautiful about Mary? She didn't squawk at all. And what we remember about her is that she just got in line and played her part. Joseph and Mary were really not squawking much at all, were they? They just got in line and played their part. It was a major part to play. And they're remembered historically because of their part. But they just got in line. They got in line and did their thing. I mean, Mary did ask a question. Zechariah's question is hard to understand from a priest who understands the scriptures and who's also in the priestly line. For him to say, how's God going to cause a barren person in their old age to give birth? That is a question that should have already been answered in his heart. For Mary to say, how does a woman who has never been with a man give birth to a child? That's a more understandable question. And when she gets the information, she's just like, all right, let's do it. I mean, that's not what she said, but pretty much what she meant is like, I'm the Lord's servant. She just took her place and got in behind Joseph, who took a lot of the wind resistance, and she played her part. So I want to think about Mary a little bit, and I want to read through these verses about Mary. The woman who is known and honored, and some people do not honor her correctly in this world, but if anything, they go overboard because she is a woman who deserves a lot of focus, so to speak, because she was humble. And the things that some people who seem to worship Mary, the irony is, Mary's heart, she would hate that more than anybody else. You know? Mary, and even like a good mother, wouldn't be like, a good mother is like, oh, look at my son, you know? I guarantee one day when Juan, you graduate, God willing, there, one day, you know, when you go up to get your diploma, your mom might be screaming louder than anybody else, and she might just be like going crazy and carrying a sign, Juan, you know, whatever. But I guarantee your mother's not going to go rush up to the stage and say, it was all me. I am the reason Juan's here today. Please, everyone. I don't think Melissa would do that. But much of the world has Mary coming up and taking stage and saying, oh, please, give me attention. Give me even something that looks like worship and prayers and stuff. Mary is an honored woman and a blessed woman among women. She is one of the best women in all history because of the fact that she didn't want to take that place. She wants to be the servant. And she's honored to be the servant. Very honored to be the servant. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Do you rejoice in what God rejoices in? Your spirit rejoices in God your Savior. Do you love what Jesus loves? I love what Jesus loves. You know? I love a little kid running around with bowling pins. Jesus loves the little children. I love what Jesus loves. I don't always love everything that Jesus loves like I should, but I'm learning, you know? Like I told you this week, there's places where I failed, places where you failed, you know? But we're learning. Do you rejoice in God your Savior? Do you rejoice in Jesus Christ? You come to church. Isn't that part of the reason why you come to church? Because you rejoice and you want to share in the rejoicing? And sometimes it just feels wonderful to be in the cheering section. My soul magnifies the Lord, she starts with. And that's what it starts with, Magnificat, the Latin translation. When I think about magnifying Jesus Christ, I don't think so much like this. You can see the intricacies of what God created when you use a magnifying glass. But I think more telescopic. When I think about my soul magnifies the Lord. You know, because like when you use magnifying glass on some small thing to make it appear larger than it is, you can find out some of the details that helps you to see some of the wonder of how God does things. But really, when you talk about magnifying the Lord, it's like a telescope that brings something that is so great and so big and has so much detail that's so far away, it brings it a little bit closer. Just a little bit closer. So, my soul magnifies the Lord. Her soul is bringing Jesus close, bringing God close, even as Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, God with us. So Mary, when she goes to Elizabeth, even she goes to Elizabeth and she brings this baby close and John's jumping. Do you, in your life, how you speak, what you say, what you invest your money in, what you invest your time in, does your soul magnify the Lord? Do you bring Jesus closer to people? Help them to understand it's not like making more of Jesus than he is. You can't do that. It's bringing some incomprehensible, amazing God a little bit closer. Somehow, when I see Mike, somehow I'm reminded a little bit more about Jesus. Somehow he brings Jesus closer to me with his kind heart. And that's just one of the attributes. Except when he talks to Brent. he does have a kind heart. But what I'm saying is, like, we have a lot of attributes, the fruits of the Spirit. And some people maybe are, you know, they shine those fruits a little bit more than others. We're supposed to shine them all. But do you magnify Jesus Christ and bring those out? Pray that you do. Be in the Word. Be attentive to the things of God. That you bring Jesus and magnify it, okay? And notice, Mary says, "God, my Savior." Now, does she say, "My spirit rejoices in God, your Savior"? No, what does she say? "My spirit rejoices in God, what? My Savior." So Mary was not without sin. She needed saved too. Now, I'm just saying she's born in the original sin that everybody else has. She's still a wonderful gal that's like Zechariah, blameless, you know? It's not like people can point their finger to her, but she still has a nature like everybody else born under Adam. she still needed to be saved, even though she's the cream of the crop. But even though she's the cream of the crop, you know what it says in John chapter 7, verse 28? Of those born of women, there's nobody greater than John the Baptist. John. Nobody greater than John. I know I'm paraphrasing, it's just kind of how I remember, but you can look it up. John chapter 7, verse 28. Among those born of women, there's none greater than John. But even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So, yeah, it says, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You know, if you're looking at how you're doing, John's the great person. But you accept Jesus Christ, you become a part of his kingdom. You trust in his forgiveness, his righteousness, even greater than John. So when you talk about all the people in the world, you got John, but even John needed Jesus. John, didn't he say, I need to be baptized by you? And then Jesus says, to fulfill all righteousness, even though Jesus is without sin, totally without sin, no sin in him at all, he still was baptized. But that discussion they had showed that John, even the greatest among them, even he needed to be baptized by Jesus. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. She's speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. She is prophesying. She is saying wonderful godly things. And so it's totally appropriate for her to tell, for her to tell you how humble she is. I think there's a verse in the scripture somewhere where Moses says that he's the most humble man on the face of the earth. But it's okay because Moses isn't saying it. It's God saying it through Moses about Moses. And so Mary is humble. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. It's like things have changed. It's like in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed. Remember, Hannah was looking for a child. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. You hear that? Things changed for her. You know, the very beginning of it in King James Version, New King James Version says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My heart is exalted in the Lord. I smile on my enemies. I smile on my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. It's like I smile on my enemies. Can you imagine that? All the people who made fun of Hannah or talked about her behind her back, and now Hannah's just like, smile on my enemies. Things have changed. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. To make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Doesn't that sound like lift up your heads, O gates? Now it says in verse 49 of Luke chapter 1, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." You hear that? Holy is his name. You know, a lot of times when you think about like Exodus chapter 20, where it talks about don't take the Lord's name in vain, people think it just means, well, you don't say, like, you don't say, "Oh my God," in anything less than a prayerful way. Or you don't say "Jesus Christ" like that either. Certainly that's one meaning of that. But you overlook a lot when you don't realize that you are called Christian. And when you don't represent him, when you don't magnify the Lord like you should out there, you are taking, in some way, the Lord's name in vain. Because you're carrying his name, but you're not taking it seriously. Another way you take it in vain is not realizing that his name is holy. It's like, "And holy is his name." That means you, little Christian, should be living a holy life. "Well, I'm forgiven. I can do whatever I want." You're forgiven, so you can do whatever you want, but you have the Holy Spirit, so you can do truly whatever you want, because you have the power of God with you now. So don't you want to be holy? Don't you want to be like Jesus? Don't you want to be good? My mom thought it was funny when I was down in Florida as a little kid. She remembers me sitting up in some restaurant on my knees, just this little kid, and she remembers me saying, "Oh, I forgot to be good." Because I must have promised somewhere along the line that day to be good, and I forgot. But don't you forget sometimes too? Don't you forget? You know, it's like you look in a mirror and then you walk away and you forget what you look like. Your morning prayer time should be a time when you look in the mirror and see Jesus, who you're supposed to be, and carry that image throughout the day. You're created in the image of God. And when Jesus came, he redid. He brought us back to the garden. So trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be holy. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Mercy. What's the definition of mercy? Remember, grace, last week we talked about, is undeserved favor. Also we had a little acronym there. Grace was God's riches at Christ's expense. That was a reminder too. So it's unmerited favor to the Lord. And then you have mercy. And what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Not getting what you do deserve. And his mercy, his forgiveness, his blessing is for those who fear him. And fear. It's okay to fear God. It's a real fear. But it's a clean fear and it's an honest fear. Because God is all powerful and God is all holy. And if you were in his presence right now, you wouldn't describe it by anything else except total fear. I mean, you'd have love and everything too, but you'd realize who he is and you realize who you are. And the strongest thing you could say would probably be what the thief on the cross said: "Remember me. Make a bridge. Do something. Help." So it's fear, but it's a wonderful, beautiful fear in a person who you also know is all love. And that's a fear that wipes out every other fear. So you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. And I hope you pray and you carry that fear in a reverent way, in a good way. You're almost in a godly way, just so pleased with your God. "My God." It's like my dad can beat up your dad, you know? There's not even any comparison. So you have that holy fear of God, but you also know that I can smile on my enemies because God's in my corner. God's on my side. And he's a God to be feared above all gods, which gods of the nations are just idols, and behind the idols are demons. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. We sing psalms sometimes. We get a song, sung Psalm 98 too. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Who do you think God's talking about there? Jesus Christ, his right hand and his holy arm. I don't feel strange about seeing Jesus everywhere. The Bible is the Jesus book. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. So Psalm 98 reminds me of that. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Now you might say, well, did he do all that? He's just a little baby in a manger. He's not even born yet, according to this scripture. It's speaking prophetically in faith, and it says to us in Mark chapter 11, 24, you can look this verse up, and write it down somewhere and memorize it. Because this is one of the most important verses for you to remember for your prayer life. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And I haven't memorized, but I'm going to read it, make sure that you get it exactly as it appears here. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Do you hear that? Believe you have received it and it will be yours. The language is correct. Of course it is. It's the Bible. I'm just saying you're supposed to pray like that. Like Mary's saying, God's already done this because he is going to do it. And she has faith and she sees with the eyes of faith because it's prophecy. He's raising up some and bringing down others. He's doing these marvelous things. And God does that. He's the great leveler. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He even raises up some who other people are saying, does he even realize who's doing these things and what waste of this ointment? And said, but people are going to remember her. Even though you're looking down on her now, they're going to remember her. God's economy is different than the world's. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. So you empty yourself and you be full. You know, it's a good kind of self-focusedness that makes me want to confess to you if I sin. Like I did earlier today. Now people online are going to say, what kind of sin did he do? Well, you should show up. But you know, I feel like if you lower yourself down, God picks you up. Lower yourself down, and God picks you up. And we do appreciate everybody's watching online. And for those who are waiting for things to come together for them to bless them, we're praying blessing on you today. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. I love those verses. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. I quoted before a scripture up in the Sunday school class, I think it's from Psalm 25, that says, remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. Isn't that how you want to be remembered? According to God's love, not according to what you did? I mean, you could say, like, don't remember the sins of my youth, but remember some of these good things I did recently. But who wants to live like that? Because all of a sudden, you feel like you had a bad day and a good day and a bad day and a good day, and you're feeling like God's love for you is based upon your performance each and every day. You know, that's not true. I mean, certainly his blessings, there are blessings that are conditional, but God's love doesn't change for us. God's love is constant for us. And don't you want to be remembered because of Jesus, because of his mercy and his love and not because of all your actions. And so he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham and to his offspring. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his servant too. And as he spoke, I'm sorry, I'm rushing. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Promises kept. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. God keeps his promises to Abraham. And isn't it wonderful that he keeps his promises and he remembers them so long after and blesses Mary because of the prayers that have been prayed historically by so many people. Remember I told you about Zechariah, how praying for the salvation of Israel as they're praying for his own child. And God brings it all together. God blesses Mary in the instant, in her own little heart, her own little world, at the same time he's blessing the whole world. And isn't that a good thing to keep in focus whenever you're praying? Whenever you're praying for God to bless you, remember, there should be two focuses. God bless me so I can be a blessing. God bless me and bless the world. Bless it all, because the world needs your blessing. Oh, the world needs Christ's blessing. I don't know about you, but at Christmas time, there's so much stuff going on. Don't you feel like it's hard sometimes to hang on? To hang on to the blessing and hang on to the attitude? Did anybody feel like they get a little low from time to time? It's tough. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Ask God to renew your perspective. Ask God to give you grace and mercy. Ask God to help you remember that he remembers his promises. God's going to take care of you. God's got you where he wants you, and he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you to magnify him. He's going to bless you to carry his holy name. He's going to bless you to understand his mercy and his strength and his salvation. And if you're feeling really low, and if you're feeling like you messed up, just lay it all out clear to the Lord. He loves that heart. And he'll lift you up. He'll exalt you. You say, I'd like to be blameless like one of these people we're reading about in the Bible stories. I'd like to be blameless. I'd like to be a person that God favors. You want to be that? Confess. Just let God know exactly all the dirt and all the doubt and all the weariness and all the weariness and all the discomfort in your own heart. And God will comfort you. Go low and he will lift you.